What would a CCB banquet be without a CCB banquet speaker?
Better.
what it would be a shorter banquet. So, let me now bring on to speak to you on whatever he has chosen to speak on. The first vice president of the American Council of the Blind and our national representative, Mr. Jeff Tom.
Thank you. Before you try to settle down, I want to, I'm going to be going up to the Washington Council of the Blind convention in a couple of weeks to represent ACB. And they're always really enthusiastic and really loud. So just in case there are people out there in ACB radio land from Washington, let's do a CCB cheer. So, give me a C.
C.
Give me a C.
C.
Give me a B.
B.
What's that spell?
CCB.
What's that spell?
CCB.
And one more time.
CCB.
All right. Excellent job. Okay. It is really an honor to be up here on the stage with all these folks, and most especially two presidents, our current CCB president and our former ACB and CCB president. There's nobody who cares more deeply, as you could tell today, cares more deeply about and sweats more blood for CCB than Donna Pomerantz. We will be blessed if our future leaders have anything close to the level of caring and passion and commitment that Donna has shown throughout her entire presidency, and we're lucky we'll have her for at least a few more months in that position. As for Mitch, he is nothing more than a prime example of all those traits that an outstanding leader needs. I've learned so much from him over the past 35 or so years that we've known each other, and it has been my honor to observe him all these many years. I did actually learn something from him tonight. I learned that USC is still in the Pac-12. I'm not your typical guest. You know me too well, and you've heard me too many times over the last decade. And besides, I know you want to play trivia. So, So, I want to get to this address as quickly as I can. But before I do that, before I get there, I want to just explore, before I get to the question of that I want to discuss tonight, I just want to tell you that this address is going to be something that looks at why the American Council of the Blind. I think, though, before we get to the why of this organization, I want to tell you that there are times I wonder why this organization as well. I hope that some of these reflections will be new to you, and some will probably be more obvious. But there's one thing which I think most of you can relate to. How many country western aficionados do we have out here? So, of course, you can tell me the iconic song of that legendary figure, Patsy Cline. Crazy, crazy. The big lines of that song are crazy for trying, crazy for crying, and crazy for loving you. Yes, all of these apply to ACB at times. It can indeed be frustrating to be an ACB member. Like most nonprofits, we never have enough money for what we really want to do. This is true of both ACB and CCB. In fact, notwithstanding our fiscal issues at times, we have a better fiscal situation than many, many affiliates in our organization. Some people love fundraising. I can remember the late Rhonda King as an example of someone who just was an incredible fundraiser and seemed to love every moment she was doing it. And others of us, well, it isn't our favorite thing to do, but we do it because we love this organization. Then there's the fact that there's just so much work to be done and never enough hours to do it, let alone enough people to get it done. And it's like, oh my gosh, how can I possibly do all that I need to do and still have a life? Then, of course, there's the bickering. You know, the political infighting, the arguing, the internal struggles at times. We could do so much more, it seems like, if we could get past that. So, in that light, you ask, since I'd rather be watching football sometimes, why ACB? And by extension, CCB? The first reason, and the most obvious one, I think, to all of you, is our core mission, advocacy on behalf of persons who are blind or who have low vision. Employment, equality of opportunity, pedestrian safety, guide dog issues, library services, special education, health care, programs for seniors with vision loss, access to information and to the environment, and I and you could come up with many more. But there is a deeper question that is presented when we talk about why we need ACB to do this advocacy work. Why can't other organizations do it? Why do we need to be taking up the cudgel all the time? To get to that, I want to talk about two very prominent organizations as examples of why I think ACB has to be in the forefront. I want to talk about the National Federation of the Blind, and I want to talk about the American Foundation for the Blind. And I want to start with a caveat when I talk about NFB. I'm not here to do any NFB bashing. We all know that NFB does many, many good things in our own state and local levels. We frequently cooperate and agree with what they have done. So none of what I am about to say is in any way in meaning that NFB is an organization that doesn't do fine advocacy work. However, we have differing priorities. Sometimes we disagree on what we find most important, and sometimes we even outright do disagree. Take, for example, an area that we have a much higher priority on, and that of audio description. It certainly has been an important issue for ACB, as witnessed by all the work that we do, whether it is for passage of federal legislation, as we successfully did with the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act, CVAA, as well as we are currently doing with respect to the implementing regulations, or at the local level, as, for example, my own chapter has done, led by Margie Donovan and Gene Lozano, to get a theater to establish an audio description program for its plays in our city. However, there is also another point, and that is NFB's gradual morphing into a huge service provider organization. When an organization becomes such a large provider of services that it relies primarily on those services to maintain its physical health, the bias of that organization is bound to change in ways that are often positive and sometimes negative. But one of the ways is that it is difficult to be driven to the same degree by the demand of consumers when you are so reliant upon your revenue streams. And it is my view that over time, and as visionary leaders like Fred Schroeder begin to pass the baton, it will be more difficult, at least, for NFB to remain as consumer-driven as it has always been. To further illustrate this point, let me turn to the other organization I want to discuss this evening, the American Foundation for the Blind. AFB is an entity that I know extremely well and I'm extremely proud of, as evidenced by the fact that I've served on its board of trustees for 6 years. Most of AFB's legislative victories, in fact, have been through working hand in hand with the American Council of the Blind. It is not a coincidence, in my view, that AFB's outstanding policy staff in Washington, D.C., cut their teeth in ACB. Paul Schroeder, who's been to several of our conventions, and who oversees their policy unit, worked in the beginning at ACB, as did our current ACB resolutions chair and the man who handles their day-to-day policy operations, Mark Reichert. So you can see that ACB has had a tremendous effect on the American Foundation of the Blind. But not only has ACB had an important impact on the leadership of AFB at the present time, I would contend that our absence from the scene would gradually have an even more profound effect in the future. First, of course, the absence would mean that we wouldn't be on the scene to create a training ground for the future Mark Reicherts and Paul Schraders of the world. Secondly, one of AFB's key missions has always been to work closely with and provide services to the blindness field. In many ways, they are the leader in this area. Excuse me. And it is my hope that they continue and expand this role, because I think they do an outstanding job in helping the field to be the best that it can be. However, if ACB were not around to provide the American Foundation for the Blind with consumer input as to what we want and we need, it would be left to the blindness field to provide a gradually greater and greater share of the input on what it is that we really require. We know the old saying, to paraphrase a little bit, he who fails to learn from history is condemned to repeat it. What Newell Perry and his boys taught us, and Kathy Skivers never lets us forget, is that those of us who are blind or who have low vision know best about our needs. Do we want to return to the days of yore when we were told what was good for us? Absolutely. The day we forget this lesson is the beginning of the deterioration of our ability to obtain the services and opportunities we most require to lead independent, active, and productive lives. Now let me turn to another reason, perhaps one that is a little less obvious, why I believe it is so vital that ACB remain strong. And that is blind culture and identity. I loved working in the sighted world of the California legislature for more than 30 years. To me, it was great in a way not to be in the blind world completely. However, I equally like the part of my life that revolves around the friends and acquaintances and loved ones in the blind community, the ACB and CCB family, as Donna so aptly put it today. In fact, as I am about to explain, my involvement in our community was the catalyst I needed to engender in me the self-confidence that enabled me to have whatever success I had in both the sighted world and in our community. Through fourth grade, I went to the same school in Redwood City that all the other blind students did. But after that, I was in my neighborhood schools. As with many blind children in public schools, I thrived academically and even in some extracurricular activities like band, but I felt socially excluded and woefully inferior to my sighted peers. I occasionally met with blind friends from my early days or went to activities with them, but whether it was playing piano or attending Enchanted Hills camp, my basic view was that if blind people did it, then Jeff Tom refused to do it. Things didn't change much in college until my metamorphosis began during law school, when George Callis, an incredible human being who was a low-vision insurance broker, introduced me to, at that time, the National Federation of the Blind of California at the local level. And by the way, enticed me with some wonderful scholarships that just as we've had these great scholarship winners tonight. A longtime ACB member after we became part of that organization, George helped to truly change my life by showing me and beginning to allow me to understand that there were role models out there, and that really I had far more self-worth than I ever thought possible. I met folks like Al Gill, Mitch Pomerantz, a much younger Mitch Pomerantz, Ken Metz, Perry Sundquist. Wow, what a man Perry Sundquist was. Jean Lozano, another one at the local level. And I can't mention that truly incredible woman who missed so much, Joanne Wolfe. They really gave me role models and made me realize that I had the potential to be just as good as those in the sighted world. During the last decade of my work with the Office of Legislative Counsel, I not only managed sighted attorneys, but I became a mentor to several of them, a talent I really hadn't expected to possess. I attribute a large part of my success in this area to the self-confidence I gained by becoming active in the California Council of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind. At one time, with so many blind students attending schools for the blind, these institutions helped to develop a pool of real leaders who had far more self-confidence than those of us from public schools typically had. Now, however, given the fact that most blind and low vision people throughout this country do not attend such schools, we need another institution to fill that gap. I strongly believe that ACB remains perhaps the strongest institution for the perpetuation of a positive blindness culture and self-identity. We in ACB are ambassadors to the general public by what we do every day. Even more importantly, in my view, our leadership in our own community and by virtue of the fact that we are interested in ourselves as people who are blind or who have low vision, means that our contact with other blind and low vision people creates the role models that they need to perpetuate a positive image of who we are and who we can be and why we should be proud of ourselves. Yes, there are macular friends groups and foundation fighting blindness organizations and groups that go to the local lighthouse or other entity. And all of these groups serve important functions. But none of these types of organizations, from my perspective, do as much as we in ACB do to show other blind people that we truly have tremendous potential, that we can be doers and leaders, and that we are individuals who aren't bemoaning the fact that we are blind, but merely working to improve our place in society and to maximize the potential that each of us has. I don't advocate that we in the blindness community embrace the isolated culture that has taken hold in much of the deaf community. We are a different population. However, deaf culture creates a real pride among that community. In my opinion, if ACB is gone from the landscape, our positive sense of who we are, our blind pride, so to speak, will gradually but dramatically diminish as the years go on. In fact, I would note that the major problem for ACB and CCB in this area is that we impact the lives of far too few people than we need to. I have very serious doubts whether the positive image of blind and low vision persons that we have worked so hard to show and perpetuate to the public and within our own community will ever recover from the loss of the American Council of the Blind and the California Council of the Blind. So friends, when you get the ACB blues and start singing Crazy for Trying, Crazy for Crying, and Crazy for Loving You, sit back, reflect, and remember the future of who we are as people, who we are as blind people, and what we want to accomplish in this organization. Because without ACB, we will not be who we want to be, and we will not maximize the potential for ourselves and for our future. As for ACB's existence, that is dependent on each and every one of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. And yes, it is. Now it is. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you for mentioning someone that, and unless I missed it the other night, during the acknowledgments of those who had passed, we did not acknowledge the loss of Joanne Wolfe, who was the mother of my daughter, who passed away in this past December. So we've got the opportunity. I wanted to do that.